This is the Enterprise Times podcast. My name is Steve Brooks. Today I'm talking with Tim Purdy, CIO and CISO at Afria. Hi, Tim.
Hello.
Also with me is Prashant Rajendran, CEO of Compliance Quest. Hello, Rajendran.
Hello.
And Tom Brennan, CMO of Rootstock. Hi, Tom.
Hey, Steve.
Tim, you have a background of working with Salesforce and you've joined quite an interesting company, Afria. Can you tell us a little about what Afria does?
Afria is one of the largest producers of cannabis in the world. It started about 5 years ago, dedicated to the medical cannabis market. And Canada legalized recreational cannabis about a year ago this past October. And we entered into that market. And so we're both a rec sale and a med sale producer.
Now, I assume you're also in the U.S. market as well because it's legalized there quite a lot.
We are not in the U.S. market because it's against the federal regulations. The scale for Afria is 22 locations in 9 countries, and the U.S. is not one of them.
You started the journey in terms of when you came into the organization. Obviously, it's a fast-growing industry, and starting from zero, you obviously need to find technology and address some challenges. What were those initial challenges that you found when you came in, and how did you address them?
The main office for Afria is located in Leamington, Ontario, which is just a little south of Detroit, Michigan. It's in a very rural location, and so one of the challenges in growing a public company in cannabis, in particular within Canada, is in that geographic location, access to advanced technology and people who know how to use it is really quite a challenge. So when I joined the company, the initial technology that was in place was very fatigued. It was very common office kinds of products and not really enterprise solution products. And those early investment decisions were sound in that the company was sub 200-300 people for many years. We're about 1,200 people today, and as that scale changes dramatically, you get a more sophisticated workforce that has expectations about tools and enablement. Primarily, my job was to make sure that we're matching the growth trajectory of the company in a global way, at an enterprise way, and bring those services to bear at Afria.
You chose Salesforce as your main platform?
I have to admit I'm a bit of a fan. I've worked with the platform for 15 years, so I don't think it's ever far from what I think about. That being said, for a large part of my career, I've worked with all the big vendors, Oracle, SAP, etc. I'm implementer of 13 ERPs in my past, and this is the first time that I picked something within the platform, thanks to our friends at Rootstock, and they put me on the journey for compliance software over to Prashant's area, which is Compliance Quest. I've never worked in the pharmaceutical space. I've never worked with consumer packaged goods, so I had a lot to learn, but there are a lot of similarities to the other things I've done in my career that I'm taking advantage of.
As an organization, how would you describe Afria in terms of what type of manufacturer is it? I assume you have distribution channels and you might have e-commerce and retail channels as well.
Canada is a very interesting country to do business in currently. Very, very tight regulations that gates whether or not we can go directly to a consumer. The only consumer we can sell directly to is in the medical market. So if someone has a patient prescription for cannabis, we can ship directly to them. But all the other distribution is done through what we call the Crown Corporations. So the provincial government regulator puts in a commercial order to us, and then we ship to their distribution hub for the lion's share of most provinces, and then it's passed on to either a dispensary or they ship directly to the consumer using post. On a couple occasions, we have the e-commerce side that is a very small portion of our technology landscape, and we're currently investigating, of course, with Salesforce, their whole e-com platform as well, to dovetail into what we currently have in place. There is an expectation that at some point the U.S. market will open up, and that might pose the biggest opportunity for direct-to-consumer, and we want to make sure that we have the e-commerce tools plugged into now the great platform of European compliance.
We're not talking about a small market here, are we?
The latest documents I saw just a week ago estimated that in the worldwide demand, the cannabis sector is expected to be $125 billion by the year 2025. Which is really a very short period of time away from now, and we have a lot of work to do in the industry to make sure that everyone's prepared for that. Of course, we're nowhere close to those numbers today. The sector is very volatile as far as what expectations for shareholder value is. Afria is very focused on long-term growth, delivering very safe products, and making sure that we're scaling the business successfully as we rotate through each regional operation rather than take on too much too soon.
Tom, obviously, they chose Rootstock. So what did Rootstock bring to the party?
Well, we provided the ERP backbone to the company. The term you'll hear in the industry is from seed to sale. And so you're taking a seed, going through the harvesting process, eventually processing it, making product out of it, packaging and so forth, as well as the financials, keeping track of that. So that's our role as part of the backbone.
And you mentioned compliance several times on this. How important is compliance, Tim? And why did you choose Compliance Quest?
Quite honestly, Steve, without compliance regulations in our country, we really don't have a competitive statement to make in the marketplace. With all of the things going on in the news regarding the company called Juul, where they found themselves in quite a big predicament, the regulations weren't in place to protect consumers correctly. So Canada is very guarded, and appropriately so. Without a compliance method to make sure that the product is guaranteed safe, we would not be able to make a sale at all, and we wouldn't want to be doing that. The legacy applications that were inside our company as far as compliance go kind of feel like the 1800s. We were using only paper because there was not an appetite for a gigantic on-premise application that would take workers away from actually growing the plants and developing the genetics and assuring the marketplace that we could grow. So we just did it through paper form. That certainly does not work for audit traceability and real-time awareness of what's happening or what the market potential of a recall or something that could be. I tend to over-prepare, and so I went and canvassed everything in the marketplace. I used the big vendors like Deloitte and PwC and said, who's in this magic quadrant space of Gartner, and looked at all of those options. And fortunately, we had great experts at our disposal within our own business, because that compliance regulation is not new to the food industry, as an example. Those people had worked with the big players, and they were generally unhappy with them, why they wanted to stay with paper, because those other tools were very complex. I've had a long relationship with Salesforce, and I called my account executive and said, what's in the market for ERP on platform? He directed me over to Tom. We had a series of meetings and review. An advantage I have is I understand the Salesforce platform very well, so we were able to skip the normal sales cycle of trying to understand what Salesforce can do. That was already a given that we could do that. It was whether or not rootstock was sound, and it was very much so and has proven out to be so. And I trust Tom and said, who would you recommend for compliance? And he said, there is nobody better than Compliance Quest. You really should talk to my friend Prashant. And we had an engagement call, and the demo literally brought my quality head. She shed tears, real tears. And I've never seen in my entire career someone be so excited to see an application that solves such an acute business problem and essential to our operation without being concerned it was going to be overly complex, too difficult to implement, or was missing key features. Prashant and his team have built one of the world's best applications I've ever seen, and we're extremely grateful to them and to Rootstock for helping us lever up. I should point out, we implemented Rootstock and Compliance Quest in 4.5 months. Not 3 years like you would do with something like SAP or Oracle. Even if you're on a fast track of 10 months in an ERP, that's considered very challenging to do. It's a huge testament to the engineering horsepower that's on the platform of both of these applications and the talent pool that's available that know these industry types of problems, that we could be guided through that in an area of our country in Leamington, Ontario, where I don't think anyone had any of that experience. And no one knew who Rootstock was. No one knew who Compliance Quest was. We took what most people would say is unrealistic risk. But I look at that situation over my career of 30 years and say, truthfully, the biggest risk was doing nothing, staying exactly the same, and having the scale of the business ramp 100 times up and not have the ability to respond. It was really the smartest investment I think we've made in technology.
Prashant, how do you approach a challenge that Afria gave to you? Because I don't know whether you've implemented similar solutions or before in that industry. So what's the challenges and what are the key things you need to identify before you approach a project like that?
First of all, an environment like Afria, which is a GMP regulated environment or a compliant environment, they have pretty strict standards. Our background, being in the space for about 30 years, has given us a lot of knowledge deploying similar systems, not only within the highly regulated life sciences industries, but also in other industries. Our approach to building these solutions is compliance being the primary driver, but even more than that is how do you bring forth a operational excellence platform? Because at the end of the day, you're putting in automation, and the automation is supposed to bring value to the company. Therefore, it should not just be a linear investment. It should be able to provide you an astronomical growth with the fact that you've laid out a great foundation. That is the type of approach that we have taken to be able to bring forth to the marketplace a scalable, flexible, and robust solution while at the same time meeting the highly regulated requirements of a GMP, which is a good manufacturing practice that a medical sale type of environment that Afria is in needs to meet and comply to so their products remain safe.
Obviously, you worked at Rootstock before. I think there's a partnership announced a couple of years. How did that come about?
Obviously, we both are in the Forbes.com platform. Both of us target the manufacturing industry, generally speaking. Anyone who makes any kind of a widget of any kind needs to have their quality assessed and make sure that the quality of the products that are being delivered is being appropriately managed. So it's a natural integration that our two products need to have. And as such, we were extremely collaborative. We were bringing Rootstock into opportunities where customers were looking for a complete rejuvenation of their enterprise systems. And similarly, as Rootstock was going into industries where quality was also considered to be an instrumental or paramount requirement, we were playing a major role in being able to help them comply to those relevant requirements. As we worked for about a little over a year or so with a number of customers that we were able to jointly win, that gave the impetus to say the relationship should be much stronger. As such, we went about creating product integrations based upon the customer input and also based upon our personal experiences. And if we bring to the market what would be considered as a best practice driven, even though these are two disparate companies, that's the beauty of the Salesforce platform. It gives the ability as if it was created by one company because they naturally sit in one place, they look and feel the same way, and they are shared data and not have to invest so much time and money in infrastructure trying to figure out how do you integrate them. And as such, we're able to bring to the market not just a solution that works from a process perspective, it is a solution that works where it is reliable. Most of the time when you go into enterprises, when there are disparate systems, companies spend a lot of money trying to get integration tools. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but then easily finger pointing starts. That issue started there, that issue started here. But when you're in one platform, that issue goes away because it's a process integration rather than trying to find technological integration. And as such, it's been a boon to the marketplace in the way we've approached it. And the customers are giving us exactly the same feedback. This is precisely what we would have considered to be a nirvana. And we are so happy to see that happen.
Tim, when you implemented these solutions, there must have been some change management challenges because you're replacing some quite old legacy systems with some quite modern systems. So how did you approach those? Because you've got quite a lot of experience in that area.
The interesting challenge there was how do you resource to operate these new fancy tools in the best way possible? And so we took experts from within our lines of business, 15 different individuals, and asked them to be repatriated over into the IT organization. And that was largely because if you're running the operation every day, the last thing that you take care of is the project that's launching in the distant future. So we pulled them all into a war room style setting and asked them if they would join forces with us to run this project and do a very agile management style. We're going to solve this particular set of problems in this rhythm of time. We're going to be guided through our trust or vendor relationship about the architecture and understand how those tools work. And we're going to change our company's processes to adopt that standard. And the only unique thing that really is a Fria or a cannabis company is cultivation. That part of the business is unique to us, and so we customized around that particular feature and spent all of our intellectual energy around imparting that knowledge back into Rootstock. There was very little that had to be considered different than any other pharmaceutical customer that Compliance Quest would have, so we were able to go very quickly. That was really the linchpin. The other part is we had exposure in our past roles working on platform of rolling out process-driven tutorials like WhatFix or WalkMe, those kinds of applications. So you have guided navigation while you're working on the product to help adoption spike and get people rolling. We're very early in that release. We launched in September, so it's too early to say everything is perfect and everyone knows how to use it. I think that's a journey that's at least a year long, truthfully, with the scale of operation. A year ago, 600 employees to over 1,200. It's a massive change in personnel and understanding. We also partnered with Microsoft and acquired, we were the first customer in Canada, Surface Hub 2s, which hang on the wall. They're about a 60-inch television-style computing touch device, full touch. And so they're all over our factory floor where every worker can walk up, authenticate, and interact with the system. And we really leverage the notion of these tools are in place to serve the worker. And so it's very much data-driven awareness. If you see something that doesn't look like it's performing correctly, you get involved and do investigative work until the problem gets solved. And so there's a lot of collaboration tools at everyone's disposal. With 2.5 million square feet of gross space, that's a lot of floor space to be able to walk. So these telepresence pieces of equipment become very instrumental for fast interaction and resolution. We don't have disasters in growing plants. It turns out they grow at a pretty slow pace, but you do need to mind the store. Temperature, irrigation, pest management, those kinds of things are the traditional problem that we face, much like many other manufacturing companies that are dealing with perishable foods. The founders of our company come from the produce industry. The original footprint of our facility was built on technology that was meant for greenhouse growing of tomatoes and peppers and things of that nature. And cannabis is not like what most people think. It's a flower. The manufacturing process is tailored off the flower industry, like Holland tulips as an example. It's very customized IoT devices, and I'm proud to say Aphria is probably leading the industry with that technology, working directly with manufacturers, building things unique for our industry and for our market. And of course, we're learning as we go and having to tighten how things perform.
You talk about surface hubs, they sound like static devices. Are you not leveraging mobile devices?
These are all on carts. They can hang on a wall or they're on mobile carts. So if you think of a traditional easel kind of whiteboard setup that you would find in a conference room, they look like that. The ones we have, the batteries were not available yet in Canada. They were not allowed for export out of the U.S. But here in the U.S., you can get them outfitted so they'll run, I think, for 12 hours on battery-powered area. So you can take it on a manufacturing floor where it might be a very loud area and repurpose and move it very quickly to another spot, pull the screen right up to an area where the camera is zooming in to something that you want to show someone in another area of the factory. This is what I'm seeing, rather than using your phone. In a GMP environment, cleaning processes are a really big deal. So you can't just walk in with every normal appliance. There's a procedure to have equipment on the floor. So all of these things are very compliant, very controlled, and they're working very well together. Microsoft Teams, Rootstock, Compliance Quest, Salesforce as a core, under the hood on those products as well. Things are very, very high tech in our environment.
In terms of the implementation, what about any challenges you face, such as data migration? Because that's often a challenge. You're moving from a legacy product. I don't know if it was on-premise or cloud, because you're quite a young company. But was that a key challenge, or what were the other challenges you faced?
It was a different kind of challenge than maybe what you mean by that question. In one part, imagine that you have medical records of patients that's all in paper form only. All of your quality tools are paper. So being able to index things for the first time is transformative. So what we did is we used a company like Iron Mountain, and we digitized all of those records. We attached them to our patient medical files and get that into the system so we have access to it. The more legacy systems for just financial systems, because we bought over a period of time prior to me these 20 other companies, they had various forms of sophistication. I would say none of them were at the ERP scale. They're things that are small financial package meant for 25 people, things of that nature. So the challenge was really one of sticker shock, I think, for the board of directors and for the other executives who have never bought an application of these scale before. They're used to spending $20,000 a year to keep QuickBooks running, and now we're talking about something that's over $1 million. There's a lot of eyebrow raising. So my job ended up being much more difficult in the convincing area than it is actually about the execution area of doing things.
That sounds like the challenge is more about the ROI, in a sense, rather than about the security, which is sometimes a flag for cloud stuff.
Anyone that works in technology that has to demonstrate that there's a payback for an investment decision, I think generally it's one of trust. It's not really about being able to put something on PowerPoint and say, I can demonstrate that I can get to this financial threshold in this window through laddering up through these steps. generally sophisticated management don't believe anything they read on paper like that. They're looking for the whites of the eyes of the person they're talking to and looking for experience to guide them there, and they're looking for outside guidance. I think one of the challenges both for Rootstock and Compliance Quest is these are not names that I think roll off the household tongue, in that you have to be building a manufacturing facility to need an ERP that's in manufacturing, or you're already running a manufacturing facility and you have a very deep investment in a traditional product that you're unlikely to think, oh, today's the day I'm going to go to the cloud. These are strategic decisions that get planned out. The challenge on Afria's side is one of education, of saying this is why cloud first is super important to our flexibility to respond to changes in any of our market conditions across those 9 countries. Being able to make a change in a system through a regulated process, but to do so at a fraction of the traditional time, and have people believe that that's possible when they've never seen those tools before. I'm fortunate that I spent 15 years in the platform ecosystem, 5 dedicated years working as a chief operating officer, selling professional services on top of Salesforce Platform, where we did bespoke custom configuration of Salesforce proper. And I've seen many, many hundreds of projects that went well and a few critical ones that supernovaed, and you learn some things along the way about what are the hallmarks. And for me, it was really letting the experts and Tom and Prashant speak to the other leaders within the company and see the evidence. They're compelling conversationalists. I hope that comes through in today's podcast as well, and you can check them out in their own social channels. These tools are the best. And I don't say that lightly. I'm a pretty jaded guy, working in IT as long as I have, and I am just bowled over about how great the actual platform is, how well thought out the architecture decisions that are in these wrapped apps work, and how professional their teams are. And it's made my job of taking 15 people who are not technology people, they're really business process people, and have them adopt the platform over a period of 4.5 months under the hood, that they can go out and teach everyone else in our business when there's a critical thinking problem of how do we solve this problem now. They know all the major touch points in the ecosystem, and they could literally call up one of the other peoples from the vendor channel and have a more deep conversation. I have this object. I have this field. They're not talking about business layer now. They're really under the hood of the solution itself, which is amazing to see. And their careers are thriving as a result of being an instrument of intense value inside the business, where before they might have been considered just ancillary workforce people and someone else in management was making a decision. Management is now turning to them and saying, this is the problem that I see. What can you do? It's changed the dynamic.
That's a message, especially here at Dreamforce. We hear it actually quite often, is how Salesforce can change the lives of individuals. It sounds like that's happened inside your company. The question is, can you keep those individuals?
In prep for this conversation, just before the mic was being set up, we were talking about a little bit of those things. And I'm a big believer that you should not try to harness your employees and force them into the same box every day and make them stay. What makes great employees, I think, universal is critical thinking skills and the ability to grow and learn every day. Someone who's eager to do that, you want to feed as much choice that you can. So there are people in my team that I invited in, those 15 people in particular, and I say invited on purpose. They weren't forced to do it. One of them in particular, shout out to Trudy. She is a more mature worker, closer in my age, and she said to me on the day that I invited her, I do not want any part of IT. This is not my skill set. I'm from the cultivation side of our business, and I want to stay there. I'm willing to help you for the very short time that it's going to take for you to find the appropriate resource, and then I'm going to go back to my regular job. And I said, Trudy, no problem. If you don't want to be here, you don't have to be here. You still have a job. You will always have a job, whether you're on this project or not, within our business. I'm not trying to break your arm. A couple days later, she came back to me, and as a relatively new CIO to Afria, most people in the company didn't know who I was and what type of leader style I would be promoting. She came back to me and she said, I checked with my friends who have heard about you, and I'm willing to give you a try. It was quite a fun moment to be counter-interviewed for a project. Fast forward into the 4th month pre-launch of the product, because of the level of engagement of our business with Trudy in particular, and I would say it's universal for the others on the team as well, they moved out of being seen as just a carrier of water to someone who could say, watch out for this obstacle, and I already prepared the system for that obstacle if it were to happen. Trudy came to me. She was quite sentimental and said, you changed my life, Tim. I've never have had someone give me the opportunity that you gave me, and I'm really sorry I gave you such a hard time in the beginning. I just got goosebumps remembering it because it was such a intensely personal trust exchange. I'm telling you, if Trudy walked in and said, I'd really like to do something different, I'd be the person that's walking with her, introducing to whoever that leader is and saying, you need to hire this woman. She's extremely smart and very dedicated, and she can offer value. I look at this dynamic and say, anyone that's working with the Salesforce platform, anyone that's working with Rootstock and Compliance Quest, the more they can learn, the deeper, rich experience they have in the contemplation of how they can take that skill and expand it, I want to keep them inside the company. I don't want them to leave. So I have a colleague who's closely aligned inside our business to Prashant's product team, and she said to me she would like to leave the region, not be in Leamington anymore. She wants to move to Toronto. She's found love. The classic old answer, right? And she said, I really don't want to leave Afria, but I do need to go here. And I think she was expecting me to say, well, thanks, pack your bags, we'll send you some cake kind of thing. I said, great, your job just moved to Toronto. We have an office there. You can work from there. She was mind blown. Like, how is that possible? Well, these cloud products don't require you to be physically present. Now, I can't have every team member at home in their pajamas, but I could have a large swath of people running these tools from wherever they are in the world. One of our great configuration people lives in Salt Lake City. We are very diverse in what can be done, and we're going to hire the talent where they are, and we're going to try to keep them innovating on our behalf wherever they are.
If you don't mind me jumping in, I think Tim's articulating something we're seeing in manufacturing is there's this workforce crisis. Manufacturers of all types are trying to make their workplaces more attractive. And if you don't have the right technology in place, if you have a 25-year-old ERP system or lots of on-premise stuff and managing server stacks and all that, it's not attractive to a young person coming into the workforce or what I would call knowledge worker. And so I think what you hear this week and you're hearing, I think, from Tim is people are able to move up towards the business strategy with technology. They're not restricted by I have to go to IT for that. They have a lot of the tool sets at their fingertips to do that and affect it. And so what you'll see is people making huge gains in their business because they can apply it themselves at the ground level, at the shop floor level, if you will, or the greenhouse level. It doesn't have to go all the way up to the CIO to change things. And I think that's a sea change, and manufacturing needs that very badly right now, given the workforce crisis that's going on.
It's an interesting point. We work as a diverse organization ourselves, but are there any security or compliance challenges around that? Can you have people working in any location?
We have regulations that guide us about what types of information can be accessed from disparate locations. As I'm sure your audience will know, if they know a bit about Salesforce, there are a lot of controls that are built into the product that you can lock where someone can log into the system from and those sorts of things. We currently don't have a big problem of a diverse workforce working anywhere in the world. There's just a few cases in my organization where that is going on. I know how to manage around that. I know how to hire the right people. I know how to prepare them. Even our executives that travel, issuing them travel laptops so they're devoid of all information in case the asset is borrowed while in transit, those sorts of things. And I think that's much more of a broader security conversation about workplace awareness of IP and things of that nature. I'm a big security person, and the threat of security primarily 9 out of 10 times is the threat from inside your company, not on the outside. So I'm not concerned about using my Marriott Wi-Fi to do a transaction. I'm much more concerned about someone not realizing that they're taking inside data and moving it to a cloud service like Dropbox without realizing they just crossed a barrier. And in Canada, we have a regulation that says that the data about our residents, our patients, must stay in country. What's great about Salesforce is there are all kinds of applications you can add onto the stack, but the vast majority of them come through U.S. territory. And so the U.S. Patriot Act is invoked. And you can imagine being a cannabis company, patients are very picky about who knows that they're a cannabis consumer. If they want to go on vacation to the state of Florida, not so long ago, if the border guard would have asked them, are you a consumer of cannabis? And that person was put in a dilemma. Either they told the truth, if they were, and said yes, be told you cannot enter the country, it's up to the border guard, or lie, and potentially if their name was in an app that the U.S. Patriot Act captured them, they could find themselves in a really big problem. So we take that very seriously. So our person that's in Salt Lake, who's a contract person, doesn't touch any patient data. They're only dealing with configuration of Salesforce on the things that don't give them access to those things, and they're tightly monitored to make sure that that's compliant.
Looking back now, you're in the implementation phase, I think. Is there anything you'd do differently?
That's a really tough question. I probably underestimated the amount of sleeplessness that was going to happen across the whole team. We had a partner in the ecosystem from Salesforce, Platinum Partner, that we stressed would be the right word. We made them very, very tired by the fast pace of which our industry moves, and our company is very used to that, but I don't think other people are. It was hard on them, and so we had a relationship crisis on the journey go through that. So I think the lesson learned for me there is to adequately describe expectations to partners who think that they move fast, of how much faster they could be going and how they need to be going in our particular industry. But from a tool selection, I would make the investment faster every day of the week in both of these two products in particular. It's turned out to be a fantastic result in gain and visibility to our data in a fraction of the time. By the way, we were still running improvement to our previous ERP project in parallel, just in case something didn't work. And so I had a team dedicated to that rollout at the same time of doing this. And about midway through the rootstock configuration, we stopped the other project team because there was enough evidence that we were going to overshoot all of the capability that that previous project for 2.5 years was still not hitting the base functionality of half the functionality that was available in rootstock in the halfway mark, which is crazy. I would make those investments all over again. I'd clone probably a couple team members. I underestimated that I couldn't be in all the places I would love to be. But just having more access, you know, you talked about it, Tom, earlier, the crisis of labor. It's not a willingness crisis. It's just an experience crisis and an exposure to these great enterprise skill applications and getting into it. That's why Trailhead is fantastic for Salesforce, to take people from all walks of life who have interesting backgrounds and a sentient mind and teach them some clicks not code kind of behavior and the business process of why those things are in place. I can tell you I don't know really a lot about pharmaceutical, certainly not before coming to Afria, and just every 10 minutes that I've ever spent with Prashant, I learn a tremendous amount about the sector, which I use then in my job. I wish that he was just at Afria full time to help teach me, but I know he's got other things to do. A big piece of being successful in this market is having access to people like Tom and Prashant and drawing on their vast amount of experience and say, where have you seen something similar? And they also are being courageous in telling us, this looks good, but don't fall for it because this is what's going to happen to you. Or trust me on this one. They've got that cachet with me now. They could tell me there's a better way to do something. Maybe I'm a little set in my ways as a traditional Irishman. And they're able to move me off thinking about something in a wrong way. Prashant did it in one conversation and probably didn't even know he did it because he's got such a gentle way with me. And we definitely appreciate that.
Tim, Prashant, Tom, thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Steve.
Thank you.
Thank you.